It's been quite the 7 months, hasn't it? God has helped us, healed us, encouraged us, and prepared us for what comes next. It's been great to feel Nancy's support, even though she couldn't be here a lot of the time, between the Holy Spirit uniting our hearts and FaceTime uniting our phones. We stayed in touch and stayed together and did this together with all of you. It's nice to have our son and daughter with us today, and my brother and sister-in-law with us. The kids have not been out in public in buildings since COVID-19, so they're still at the house, but they're here celebrating with us. Next Sunday, Pierce Nation gets to welcome your new lead pastor that God has selected for this time at Pierce Church. And I'm so delighted to be able to take this step of leaving well and passing on the ministry leadership to Pastor Todd and Jean, wonderfully gifted people that deserve your encouragement and support right from day one. And I know you'll make me proud in your support and encouragement of them. As Julie mentioned earlier, I said it just felt to me like we should reprise our first Sunday this Sunday. Remember our first Sunday? If you were here, it was remarkable. God worked. There was an invitation at the end of anyone who wanted to come and be part of the future of what God was doing here and be all in with the Spirit of God. And this front was filled as hundreds came to pray with me and pray for our church. God's done some remarkable things in these 7 months. I was thinking about the time we went to Unity Hospital. Terry and Sherry were a big part of helping to make that happen. And we parked our cars and pointed them at the hospital and turned on our lights and let them know we were praying for the frontline medical workers. And it was a holy moment. It was a beautiful time. 7 weeks together through 1 Peter. And a lot of you participated in that journey. That was tremendous. Thank you. And an Easter to remember. We didn't get to come to church that day, but we got to celebrate the resurrection online, where we live, in our lives. I think it's an Easter I will long remember. And not just because we couldn't be here, but because God was with us anyway. And one of my very favorite memories was our prayer gathering. We walked throughout this entire facility and prayed for the Spirit of God to work. And it was just before COVID-19. We didn't know it was coming, but God did. And we had a wonderful time interceding together. And I believe a lot of what God has done in answer to those prayers was because we took time to pray. So praise the Lord. This has been good. If you were here my first Sunday, you remember that one of the texts that I shared was from Colossians chapter 1. It's a classic passage reminding us that Jesus is the head of the church. When it comes to Pierce, Jesus leads. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Pierce Memorial Free Methodist Church belongs to Jesus Christ. When we belong here, we start to call it my church, right? And that's not a bad thing. It shows ownership and engagement, but we know ultimately it's his church. We joined the church when we gave our life to Jesus Christ and found a new life in him. And somewhere, somehow, we committed ourselves to be part of this particular body of Christ. And in this passage, we've been reminded there is nobody like Jesus. And he is our leader, the creator of all things. The cosmic glue that holds it all together, the eternal starting point, the first resurrected one who is alive forevermore, and we who trust in him, we too shall live. Wow. How good is it to know that Jesus has got us in his hands. This is his church. He is leading. We follow. According to this text, Jesus is at work in us and through us, doing something amazing. Much more than a building or a worship team or an online ministry, he's changing the course of history. The greatest thrill in my 41 years of pastoral ministry has been seeing the lives of individual people changed by Jesus Christ. Yesterday, we had a wonderful day in the city with our family, and we were celebrating the fact that our children, adult children, their spouses, all five of our grandkids love Jesus. Doesn't get much better than that, does it? And then I was thinking about your family and those who in your family love Jesus and have been influenced by the ministry of Pierce Church and what God has done through it. What a blessing. And then some who may not have all of your family yet following Christ. We're praying together, we're working together that he will continue to change lives, restore marriages, release people from addiction, and transform us from the inside out. Jesus is leading, and we follow. And it's an incredible opportunity, a life-changing, history-making, world-changing ministry that God has called us into together. He leads, we follow. And I was thinking about that day when we had our prayer gathering here. Do you remember if you were here, we prayed for this day? We prayed for this day that it would come when the interim guy would be done, right? And the Lord would bring us a new pastor for a new day. Someone asked me how I felt about today. I said, I think I feel exactly like I should. Bittersweet. You know, I learned years ago that in life there are what's called necessary losses. You give up some things to pick up other things. And so we'll miss you. We'll miss this season of ministry. It feels a little bit like laying something down. But we pick up retirement 2.0 and being close with our children again and the things that God is yet calling us to do. And so we prayed for this moment. This moment today is an answer to prayer. Praise the Lord. You can say praise the Lord even with your mask on. Praise the Lord. And we're here. And next week is another answer to prayer, right? We've been praying for the next right person that God will bring us. Jesus leads and we follow. Amen? Amen. Then we talked about the fact that Jesus builds a prevailing church. This great text from Matthew 16. Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I love that text. Jesus is telling Peter, you're not smart enough to think of this, right? You didn't come up with this on your own, Peter. The Holy Spirit had to tell you that. And the Holy Spirit told you that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, you are one blessed man because I know that God has revealed this to you and you will be part of God's revealing it to the world. Jesus is the rock on which God is building his church. Jesus, the one and only Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one in whom we trust, the answer to our deepest questions, the rock on whom we stand, the hope of the world. And Jesus builds a prevailing church. I love that. One that pushes back the darkness, one that overcomes the obstacles. I don't know about you, but I think we all have a choice about the kind of church we belong to. Do we want it to be sort of a, you know, discouraged, frustrating, critical place, or do we want it to be a place that's full of life and energy and hope and the gospel and is prevailing? I don't know about you, but I choose prevailing, right? Given the choice, I choose prevailing. Under Jesus, Pierce, is a Bible teaching, good news preaching, disciple making, kingdom expanding, compassion extending, darkness overcoming, grace extending, multiracial reconciling, Christ exalting community of faith. Amen. For 7 months, I've had the privilege of serving with this highly dedicated ministry staff, planning, strategizing, serving, watching God do some amazing things. You know, God raised up an online ministry in this congregation in like a week. We went from not having it all together to just people putting in long hours and the Spirit of God working among us, and we were able to extend the work of the Lord beyond our congregation in a matter of days. It's really a miracle. It's a prevailing miracle. It's the kind of miracle that takes the gospel to people that we may never see and never know. Thank the Lord for building a prevailing church. And then finally, we are a welcoming congregation. We are welcome because Jesus welcomes us. Revelation 22 says, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' Let anyone who hears this say, 'Come.' Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life." So we know that God says to those around us, "Come and drink of eternal life," right? The Spirit says that. But who's the bride? It says that the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Well, we're the bride of Christ, right? The church is the bride of Christ. So we agree and we say, "Come. You are welcome. We love you. We want the best for you. We want to include you and bless you. We want our church to be part of the answer to the problems you face. You are welcome here." You may remember my first Sunday, I said, "Everyone is welcome here. Whether you're part of the greatest generation, or the baby boom generation, or Gen X, Gen Y, millennials, Gen Z, or is that Gen Z? I grew up in Canada. Anyway, or the I generation, you are welcome here. If you are single, married, divorced, female, male, straight or gay, or still sorting yourself out, you are welcome here. If you are a U.S. citizen, permanent resident, temporary resident, or even undocumented, you are welcome to worship here. If you voted for the current president or the previous president or both or neither, you're welcome here." I know I'm messing with you, all right? "If you are skinny as a rail or pleasingly plump, if you are unusually tall or vertically challenged, if your skin is red, yellow, black, brown, or white, or some combination of all of the above, you are welcome here. If you love to sing sonorously or can't carry a tune in a bucket, if you've been inked, pierced, or both, or neither," good for you, "there's a place in these pews for you. If you're a kid looking for someplace to belong, a teenager trying to figure life out, a soccer mom running way too hard and too fast, a NASCAR dad trying to get her done, a corporate executive or a starving artist, or someone who lost your temper at work or you're offering money at the casino, you are welcome here. If you clocked 60 plus hours on your job this past week, or have been working from home for several months, or have been out of work longer than you care to admit, you're welcome here. If you came today browsing or church shopping or just hoping to have a picnic, sorry, you're welcome here. If you're totally into church and hate to miss a week, or if sometimes you doubt God's love and don't really trust organized religion, you're welcome here. Or if you somehow got lost in traffic on Buffalo Road and wound up here by mistake, you're welcome here. And most of all, if you're thirsty, for something that will satisfy your soul. If you need to know down in the core of who you are, that you are loved. If you need someone to pray for you or with you, you came to the right place. May that always be true. So here we are, ready to say goodbye. By God's grace, in these last 7 months, Jesus is healing our hurts. He's righting the ship. He's restoring our passion. He's building a prevailing church. He's welcoming our community. Through it all, Jesus has been our source, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. Jesus is in the lead, and we follow. Amen? Jesus is building his church, and we grow. Amen? Jesus is welcoming those who are thirsty, and we welcome them too. Amen? To say goodbye honestly and thoughtfully from the heart with love is an important thing in human relations. It honors one another. It says, I'm not abandoning you or deserting you. I'm not anxious to run off, but I bless you. And in the days ahead, my body may be gone, but my love remains. You see, goodbye is an interesting word. It's actually a contraction. You knew that. God be with you. Goodbye. So today, I say, God be with you. You might be old enough to remember there's an old hymn, God be with you till we meet again. Jeremiah Rankin, who wrote it in 1882, I should say, had just sort of discovered the background and the meaning of the word goodbye. And he wanted a song to express that deeper meaning, God be with you. So he wrote it for the choir of the church where he served to be able to use it as a way to say goodbye. God be with you till we meet again. His counsels guide, uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Neath his wings protecting hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. When life perils thick confound you, put his arms unfailing round you. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Keep love's banner floating o'er you. Smite death's threatening wave before you. God be with you till we meet again. So it's a prayer, a heartfelt wish, a blessing, and a benediction. God be with you till we meet again. Amen. Amen. The worship team has a song. And it's a song we asked to sing, actually, on our first Sunday. Lord, do it again, right? Do it again and again and again here at Pierce and in our lives. Let's sing.